This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cassandra joins me now. Chris, what do I listen to?
That's the big payback. Revenge, I'm mad, says James Brown. Going out to the Memphis Grizzlies as they try to avenge their worst loss of the season tonight against the New York Knicks.
So, I mean, definitely it is numerically the worst loss. Was it, do you think, the worst drubbing in...
Yeah, I think it was the worst game they played this season. So it was the biggest loss in terms of point differential. They lost by 37, which was their biggest loss of the season. It was, if you just look at pace-adjusted stats, it was their worst defensive game they played this season. It was, I think, their third worst offensive game. It was the most turnovers they've had this season. It was the most opponent fast break points, the most opponent points in the paint. All that is just a way to pick apart a very common thing that happened in that game, which was turnover, Knicks layup, turnover, Knicks layup, turnover, Knicks layup, over and over and over and over again.
Does it make sense it happened against the Knicks, by the way? Does it?
Kinda. The Knicks have not been a good defensive team on the season. And in fact, the Knicks and the Grizzlies are both bottom five defense since the trade deadline, which is not a good place to be. But the Knicks have been a below average defensive team on the season. But what they do have is big physical perimeter defenders, OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges. And those are the kind of players who, like, when you play aggressive on-ball defense, can exacerbate the Grizzlies' turnover problem. And that's what happened in that game. But I just think that was the Grizzlies just – that was more about the Grizzlies than the Knicks to me, that game in New York. That the Grizzlies just imploded from the jump in that game.
Right.
It was like a really terrible
one of the mysteries to me is why the Knicks, you know, they went out and got every big perimeter, you know, 3-and-D guy in the world, basically give up 5 first round picks for Bridges, and they got an OB and whatever, and their perimeter defense, their 3-point shooting defense in particular, has been horrific. Why?
Well, you're starting Towns and Towns at center, and I mean, you know, Minnesota went out and got Rudy Gobert because they didn't want to play defense with Karl-Anthony Towns at center, right? And so that is a bad starting point to a team defense, is to have him as your center, because there's it's not just that, you know, at the rim, because you're talking about 3-point shooting, but there's a trickle-down effect to that, right? I think that's part of it. Other than that, so 3-point shooting stuff sometimes can tend to be a little noisy, so I don't want to make too much of some 3-point defense stats necessarily. But I think, you know, you got Towns at center, which I think has a trickle down effect on team defense, and then you're sort of small otherwise, because now you have Anunoby, who's basically a power, kind of a small forward. You're playing him at the four, or maybe you're playing Josh Hart at the four, and he's 6'5". There's some of that, but I don't know. I'd have to watch them more closely. It feels like they designed their team to try to defend Boston, and they just keep losing to Boston in the regular season. So who knows? Right.
So you've got it is interesting because you got these two teams. That, I mean, you talk about this before, that are, you heard you said it in the podcast again, there are 3 elite teams in the league this year, and the Knicks and the Grizzlies are not included in those 3.
Yeah, so there's 3 teams with a winning percentage above 700. That's obviously Cleveland, Boston, and Oklahoma City. Then there's 5 other teams with a winning percentage above 600, and the Grizzlies and the Knicks are 2 of those 5. So if you look at, like, group 1, group 2, the Knicks are 0-7 against Group 1.
Right. I was about to say, the Knicks, they're 0-6 against the
Grizzlies are 1-3 against those teams.
Yeah, because the Grizzlies beat the Celts.
Right.
Who are the others who are in the threshold of the next 5?
The Knicks, the Grizzlies, not necessarily in this order, although I think in this order. The Knicks, the Grizzlies, the Nuggets, the Lakers, and the Rockets. And if you look at that group that the Knicks and the Grizzlies are in, this sort of second group, there's a difference there, and it's not a good one for the Grizzlies. The the Knicks are 4-2 against that group of teams collectively.
Oh, internally, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the Grizzlies are 3-7 against those teams. So the Grizzlies haven't been good against the first tier or the second tier, particularly. So it'd be nice to get a win against the second tier team tonight.
Yeah, it would be
on the home floor.
It would be nice to get a win. Eh, you know, whatever. These wins, it does feel like so many of these big win, important win, whatever else. Like what do you? How do you gauge that?
Yeah, it's one game out of 82, and you know that matters in the standings. But I think, just generally speaking, I think the Grizzlies, there's an awareness not only among fans and observers, but I think internally that like they haven't been great against the better teams. And it's not just, as I just pointed out, it's not just the top three. It's like they're 1-3 against Houston, and they're, I think, 1-2 against the Lakers, and 1-1 against Denver, 0-1 against the Knicks. So there's not a winning record in any of that, right?
Right.
And so I think the team to feel better.
What are they against the Bucks?
I think they're 2-0 against Milwaukee.
There you go.
Milwaukee's the next level down from there, right?
Yeah.
It's
grasping.
And so, I think you would like to have more success against better teams to feel better about yourself as you go toward the playoffs.
Yeah. They got Mitchell Robinson, it appears, will be back tonight. His season debut tonight.
Towns is questionable.
Towns is questionable. They're both questionable. Yeah. And it is gets back to what
and
you
I
said.
And I think Bane is questionable.
Bane is also questionable, yeah. It gets back to sort of what you said, is that the Timberwolves had success when they paired Karl-Anthony Towns with Rudy Gobert. And so you wonder, will adding Mitchell Robinson to the mix here.
Yeah. I mean, I want to step back because the Knicks are having success right now, right?
Like,
they're tied for the fourth best record in the league, and Towns is putting up great numbers. And I think they're like second or third offense.
Right.
It's a defensive thing, right? So will you improve your defense by playing Towns less at center? Yes. But how much are you going to hurt your offense, right? The goal is to outscore the other team, however you do it. And so there's a real question there. The Knicks also just aren't deep. And so if they have like a center who can like protect the rim and rebound, and they can give them 20 minutes a game of a good player, I think that's helpful generally to them.
If you were if you had an NBA team and you could put it in a city that you like, and it's your own expansion team, and you've got all their assets, their roster, you don't have their TV deal, you don't have any of that, but you've got their basketball assets. Do you want the Grizzlies or the Knicks?
That's a decent question. Jalen Brunson, you're inheriting the contracts too, right? So you've got Jalen Brunson on maybe the best contract in the league because he took this he took that bargain deal so you could like overpay for these other players, right? So you're spending more money across the board. I'd probably go the Grizzlies because of the youth question, because they're younger, and because. I mean, they've been, like, really healthy this season, even playing these heavy minutes with Tibbs. But, like, Ananobi's got a history of, like, pretty bad injury stuff. Towns is, I think there's more cost and more risk on the Knicks side. And so the Grizzlies, I think you're younger. You have a longer runway. You also have, I'm inheriting the draft pick situation. Yep. I think that's a little bit better on the Grizzlies side, too. Right. And so, yeah.
It is interesting because you talked about the growth, some of the growth that's, I mean, the Knicks kind of are what they are, right? I mean, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of growth.
They're not old, but they're not young either.
Right.
It's like all five of those guys are like right smack in their prime.
Right. With the Grizzlies, I think Jaren is what he is now, pretty much. If you're going to get a better Jaren, that'd be great. But he's still only 25, but seems unlikely. You can get better than this combination of Jaren. I guess he could be better at rebounding or better than...
You could always make small things.
But he's
reached an all-NBA level of play.
Right.
It's hard to ask for more than that.
It feels like is what he is. You can imagine a better Ja than we're getting right now.
You could just imagine the Ja you've already had.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Which is an all-NBA level play.
Here's the
thing,
though. How much really is there ceiling to the young guys that they have?
It's a good question. Like I don't think any of them individually have all-star ceiling,
right?
In your wildest dreams you can imagine Gigi Jackson
maybe,
an all-star,
yes,
but I think they all have room for many of them have room for significant improvement,
right?
So the Ringer came out with they update it once a month, their NBA rank thing, either today or yesterday. And so the Grizzlies have, for the first time, I think, ever in franchise history since this thing has been happening, they have two top 25 players, first time ever, because they finally pushed Jaren up. So you got Jaren and Ja, both top 25 players. And they almost have three top 50 because Dez is at 51, right? But then there's nobody else. And so at the beginning of the season, they had four because Marcus Smart was in the 80s off of reputation and that, right. You know.
Right, right.
And so you look at it and, like, you know, you got two top 25 guys, another guy's basically a top 50 guy, and then, like, nothing else. And you look at that list, you see some guys that maybe they could have traded for, like Cameron Johnson is like in the 80s or whatever, and DeAndre right. Hunter is in the 80s. And there's some of these guys. Dylan Brooks, they let go. It's like number 90-something, right?
Right.
Like, they don't really have a fourth guy. And so the question is not, can you get another top 50 guy, because that's just not going to happen, but can one of these young players look up and you're number 82 on the list next year, right? That kind of thing. I don't know if Santi Aldama is that much worse than DeAndre Hunter or Cameron Johnson.
Well, I was about it may to be a say reputation that. Santi can't, and he can, you know, also, it feels like he can also still get
Christian
better.
Christian Brown from Denver is number 100 on this list. Are we sure he's going to be better next season than Jalen Wells or Vince Williams? I don't know, right? So I think there are guys, you take Santi Aldama, Jalen Wells, Vince Williams, Zach Edey. All four of those guys have the potential to look up and be the 80th best player in basketball, right?
Right.
I don't think they're ever going to be the 45th, you know? And so, can you get one or two of those guys to jump up into that range over the next couple years? It's certainly nowhere and no way guaranteed, but I do think it's possible. Yeah.
On GG, it feels like they are still making an effort to play him, even though he may not earn those minutes. They obviously came in handy the other night.
But that effort has really
diminished
sort of,
the other night. Yeah.
In the last two games they have.
Which was the game? He had a bunch of threes in the...
That was...
Two games ago. Wasn't it 2 games ago? That was against...
Yeah. It was the Magic game. He had like three threes in 90 seconds.
But against Cleveland, he played 4 minutes in the first half and didn't play again. And against Phoenix, it was eight minutes.
Yeah, Drew said he was feeling some kind of way about it. Yeah.
Yeah, which is normal. I mean, I just think... It's going to be a hard thing to manage probably for him, and the team is not managing the fan base. But like for the fan base to manage for themselves, right?
Right.
The reality is that there's just this gap between the reality of GG right now and the expectations for GG. I think the problem is more on the expectations side. I don't think it's a big deal that, like, he's 20 years old and he hasn't even played a full season of NBA basketball, and he had this injury and shows up midway through the season. He hadn't played all year, and this is a team that's in a playoff race, and, like, you know, it's a hard thing to step back into.
Right. Yeah, we wondered about it even had he been healthy, and he wasn't. He had a really good summer, didn't he?
He had a good summer league.
Yeah,
but then he got hurt during the summer, right? So he didn't have a training camp and any of that. So I think he's looking ahead to an important summer coming up, that's for sure.
One of the truths that you used to count on, we used to rely on, is that when the big three are healthy, the Grizzlies are really good. And I do wonder.
I was tracking that during the season, and at one point I just stopped because you weren't really getting the real jaw a lot of the time.
Right.
And at one point it sort of came together. They were about as good without all three as they were with all three. And there was not some conclusive evidence either way.
Yeah. You know? I kind of wonder how that fed into the numbers that you were talking about with how they fare against elite teams or the second level teams, you know, if how those numbers skew, if they were healthy or not or whatever. They obviously have them all tonight, although Dez is questionable and Ja is maybe diminished or whatever, some 90% version of himself. So there you go. I don't know if there's anything else particularly to say about tonight. Santi is the fourth best. I mean, Santi is the fourth player.
Yeah.
And you could make an argument that he's in the 100 or 120, like whatever, at
some
point.
Well, I think one of the reasons the Grizzlies, and I'm not privy to exactly what it would have taken, but I think among the reasons, and I wrote about this in the lead up to the deadline, I think among the reasons they didn't trade for Cameron Johnson is that they think that going forward, Santi Aldama might be better than Cameron Johnson, right? Like, you're probably not going to have them both if you trade for Cameron Johnson going forward with Santi heading to free agency.
All right, we did have, it really feels like scoreboard watching, you can do it in earnest, and it sort of matters. You had the Nuggets losing last night. They don't play well against good teams either.
Right.
And they lost to the Bucks, but you had the Lakers.
Nico Harrison, man, that dude screwed over everyone in basketball except for the Lakers and Laker fans.
He really did.
Was this really necessary? Come on, man.
What the hell? Why do you Like, why the, is he just, does he think he's smarter than anyone
else?
I don't know.
And Patrick DeMond, I'll throw the owner in there too. Because ultimately, something like that is an ownership level responsibility, not just Nico Harrison. I don't know. And who knows? Maybe the Luka thing will, like, you know, because of the off court stuff and the health, and maybe in 5 years, like, it hasn't turned out as good as the, but like right now, like, they only got LeBron James for so much longer, and now he's playing with Luka. You know, and like, now that team's legit. That team's legit, even though, like, they're starting Jackson Hayes at center, who, you know, that team is not good, but it doesn't matter because it is good because they have LeBron James and Luka Doncic playing together. And they can go 48 minutes and never have, you know, both of them on the bench. They can always have one on the court all the time. Yeah.
If you had, of the three teams that are hot on the Grizzlies have retaken second place. They're half a game up on Denver.
Yeah.
And then the Lakers and Houston, both a game and a half back. Who do you think is going to finish second? Who's more likely to overtake the Grizzlies of the group?
I don't think it'll be Houston. I don't take Houston as seriously both the rest of the anything's possible. But I don't take them as seriously both the rest of the regular season and into the playoffs as I do the Lakers and the Nuggets. I'd have to look at the schedules. I know, broadly speaking, like, the Nuggets have a little bit harder. I think all three of those teams have quote unquote hard schedules the rest of the way. So I really think it could go either way. I think the Lakers are the least likely because they got two games to make up, right? There's not that many games left.
Game and a half.
Okay.
It's a game and a half. Yeah. They're only a game behind Denver, which is Denver's a half game behind behind the Grizzlies. And then you got Steph going for 56. They are 7-1.
No, that's the team that's been rising up, right, you know, pretty quickly. And so they have a good chance to, they got to have their eyes on six and, like, not messing with the play-in. Like, that, they got a real shot at that now.
I don't know if you heard this. The stat was that Steph has now, on February 27th, scored 45 or more points. This is an artificial stat, of course. Scored 45 or more.
It's numerology.
Yes, it's numerology. You got to first make the cutoff 45, because that's the magic cutoff. Three times on February 27th, he has scored 45 or more. There are only two other players who have scored 45 more, who can claim days on which they've scored 45 or more. One is Elgin Baylor. His day is February 25th. The other is Wilt, who has 16 different days. That's just ridiculous. He's got 16 different days. Zion, by the way, Pelicans beat the Suns last night. Zion with a triple-double.
Zion's good when he plays basketball. The problem is that he doesn't really play basketball.
Memphis in any way? Wouldn't it be fun to have reunite Zion and Ja somehow?
It would be fun when they both
when
played.
They both play.
Like the 15 games a year when you had them both on the floor. That sounds like a lot of risk.
I think that's it, Chris. You'll be there tonight. Nice to have you back in town.
Yep.
And you're staying, and then we got Tony Allen next week, right? This is a big stretch.
Yeah, a lot of games, I think I'm going to be going to 8 home games over the next 2+ weeks, and I'm also going to go to both the road games, the Dallas and New Orleans. So a lot of basketball
for
me.
Have you been to Dallas to cover a game before?
I have not. I've been to Dallas for other things, but I've never been to a Grizzlies game.
And Tony's film is, I think, Tuesday?
Next Tuesday.
They're debuting the film. They always do a terrific job on those. Did you ever get any clarity on this TV thing that they're doing?
No. I was driving all day.
Okay.
So I didn't.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Read his stuff over there. If you have anything that you need framed, go to the Frame Corner. Simple. That's easy. How do I get this framed? Go to the Frame Corner, Calkins said. He talks to people all the time who've gone to the Frame Corner. This guy from Jonesboro drove all the way from Jonesboro because his grandfather's arrowhead collection. He wanted to have it framed. How do you frame arrowheads? You take it to the Frame Corner. They've been doing it for 50 years in Memphis. It's the Frame Corner, specialize in custom framing. You can buy frames there as well. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.